Now for the next part of our program, our next speaker is Dr. Dave Patterson from the University of Missouri. He holds a joint appointment in research and extension in the Division of Animal Science at the university. Dr. Patterson's research is focused on the development of methods to synchronize estrus and beef heifers in cows, with recent work directed largely toward the development of methods to facilitate the use of fixed-time AI. In addition, Dr. Patterson coordinated development of the Missouri Show Me Select Replacement Heifer Program, which during the past 11 years, nearly 80,000 heifers representing more than 600 Missouri farms were enrolled in the Show Me Select program. He's received the American Society of Animal Science Extension Award in 2006 and the Animal Industry Award in 2007. Let's give a warm welcome to Dr. Patterson.
No.
Is that better?
Yes.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate the introduction. I'd like to acknowledge the co-authors or contributors on this work. Daniel Mallory, who recently finished a master's in my program, is now working as a research specialist in my program, Justin Nash, who just actually began a master's program with me this last year, and then my good friend and colleague, Dr. Mike Smith, who's been very closely involved with all the work that, or a lot of the work that you're going to be seeing today. We're at the point in the program now where we want to try and start putting things together, and I think the important thing to take home relative to both my talk as well as the talk that will follow from Cliff Lamb is that effective estrus synchronization programs should have the following objectives. They should facilitate the use of AI or embryo transfer, reduce the time required to detect heat. The two benefits relative to many of these protocols that you'll realize in after implementing them is that cycling females typically will conceive earlier in the breeding period, and the real benefit, at least to the progestin-based protocols, is the fact that they induce cyclicity in both peripubertal heifers and estrus postpartum beef cows. We've worked extensively in this area over a number of years. A good part of my career has been devoted to working on development of estrus synchronization protocols that are not only highly effective but economical to use, that work on both classes of heifers and cows. And I think the important thing to understand is that all of you, when you enter a breeding season every year, are going to be faced with situations where you have, to a certain extent, an unknown relative to the number of cycling or non-cycling females. And so that's the challenge relative to choosing a protocol that's going to work the most effectively in terms of working with both groups of females. The other important thing is that hopefully the thing that you'll see coming out in the data today is that many of these protocols now, we're realizing pregnancy rates that are very comparable to heats that are would be considered to be spontaneous heats, and so the fertility in many of these protocols is excellent. And the overriding objective here has been to reduce the AI period in terms of the period of time over which you have to detect heat to a fairly significant degree, and or facilitate the use of fixed-time AI or appointment breeding. Dr. Smith already went through the products that are currently available for use in synchronizing cattle here in the United States. The focus of this presentation will center largely on the progestin-based protocols, MJ and CEDAR. So to begin with, what do we know about progestins? And I think you probably already have a pretty good understanding of this based on what's already been presented. But first of all, as you're aware, they successfully induce puberty in beef heifers. During either MJ intake or treatment with a CEDAR, they prevent the expression of behavioral estrus. In addition, they block the preovulatory surge of LH, and they also block ovulation. So to begin with, in terms of MGA-based protocols for heifers, I think most of you are probably well aware of the fact that the MGA prostaglandin protocol has been more or less the preferred method of estrus synchronization in beef heifers now for some time, dating back to Chianotti's work at Colorado State University with the development of the 14-17-day protocol, and then more recently work from Nebraska, Gene Deitcher, and then Cliff Lamb, extending that interval from MGA withdrawal to prostaglandin an additional 2 days to make it the 14-19-day protocol. Important point here relative to use of MGA is that it's fed on a daily basis at a rate of a half a milligram per animal per day. Our recommendation would be that it's fed at about the same time every day as opposed to split feeding cattle, half in the morning, say, for instance, and half at night, because we've had situations, if that is the case, that you can have breakthroughs. The other important thing is, too, is that we do not recommend that you top dress it. In other words, if you're feeding a silage-based ration or trying to top dress it onto silage, what will oftentimes happen is that the feed that the MGA is carried in will actually filter down into a larger feed supplement that's perhaps being provided. And you're not going to get the consumption that you want or need on a daily basis. And so our recommendation would be to feed a 2 to 3 pound carrier, first thing in the morning, and have good intake. It will end up giving you the best results relative to outcome. In terms of producers that have not really felt that they were prepared to begin an AI program, we worked with a 14-day feeding period of MGA, bypassed that subfertilestrous following MGA withdrawal that Dr. Smith talked about, and then simply exposed synchronized groups of females to bulls for natural service as early as 10 days after MGA withdrawal. And this is data that I collected when I was on the faculty at the University of Kentucky, and you can see there's data on about 1,800 heifers that were exposed for natural service, just feeding MGA for 14 days, waiting 10 days and turning in bulls, versus heifers that were artificially inseminated following an MGA prostaglandin protocol, and over 4,000 heifers here. The important point here to consider is that the synchronized pregnancy rates, in other words, the number of heifers that conceived became pregnant during that synchronized period, roughly two-thirds of the heifers that were exposed for natural service became pregnant in comparison to just under 60% of the heifers that were AI. And so both systems work very effectively in terms of setting heifers up for either natural service, a synchronized period during a natural service period in addition to AI. This is sort of a crude schematic of what you can expect to see relative to MGA prostaglandin and the expected or anticipated heat distribution versus MGA and natural service. And this is what you would want in a heat detection system simply because you're concentrating that heat period over a relatively shorter period of time, 3 to 5 days, versus 7 to 10 days in a natural service setting. And actually, there's data if you were to use MGA prostaglandin and turn in bulls, in many cases the pregnancy rates can actually be compromised because the synchrony is so tight, as Dr. Lauderdale talked about, you can actually overload breeding systems in that particular case. I want to switch gears just for a short time because every year we get questions from producers around the country that have placed heifers in backgrounding lots and actually fed MGA for extended periods of time, as would be the case in a backgrounding lot. But then, depending upon where we're at in the cattle cycle, make the decision that they'd like to pull those heifers and actually go ahead and try and breed them. And so we actually designed an experiment a number of years ago now looking at trying to address that question. What we did was we fed heifers, and this was the old 14-17-day protocol, the original protocol. We fed heifers MGA for 14 days, the standard dosage, half a milligram per animal per day. Waited 17 days, gave prostaglandin at that time, and then any heifers that failed to exhibit estrus, we came back and reinjected those heifers 11 days later. We compared that to a group of heifers that were actually fed MGA for close to 3 months, 87 days. Did the same thing in terms of withdrawal and subsequent follow-up relative to prostaglandin, the 17-day interval, followed 11 days later with a second injection for any of the non-responders. These were registered Angus heifers at the University Hood at UK, and the thing you can see here is the red bars represent the short-term or 14-day fed heifers. The gray bars represent the long-term or 87-day fed heifers. And following that first injection of prostaglandin, there was a decreased response among the long-term fed heifers. But when we came back and re-injected the non-responders, you can see that the total response was essentially equal. We also had an opportunity to ultrasound these heifers, and what we saw among the 14-day fed heifers is that there were no what we would consider to be abnormal structures observed among those heifers. However, the heifers that were exposed or actually treated or fed MGA for the long-term period, roughly 40% of those heifers had luteinized follicular cysts, which is really not a good thing in terms of trying to get those heifers bred. This is an ultrasound image of what we would consider to be a normal-appearing hollow-filled CL on one of the heifers out of the 14-day group. And at the similar point in the cycle, a luteinized follicular cyst on one of the heifers that was in the long-term treated group, and in this case you can see it was a 42-millimeter cyst. What occurred in a percentage of those heifers is that they actually went on to begin lactating. And so this is a consideration that if any of you are thinking about pulling heifers out of backgrounding lots to actually go ahead and breed, these are situations that, that actually may arise. In terms of conception rate, we saw no differences relative to conception rate in terms of how the heifers performed reproductively. You can see these, although there's numeric differences there, there's really no statistical difference. And pregnancy rate at the end of the breeding season was equal. So the point relative to this in terms of a take-home message is that if you're going to be doing this, prostaglandin, in our opinion, is important relative to doing a good job not only in synchronizing those heifers, but it's going to be also therapeutic in terms of clearing up those cystic situations. Now, to get back on track relative to the protocols that, you're all probably interested in relative to getting heifers synchronized, what I'm going to do over the course of the presentation is pose a series of questions to try and make the relative comparisons to the sort of endless list of options that you have relative to the protocols that are out there. And so I want to first begin with the cedar-based protocols. And Dr. Matt Lucy, who's another physiologist in our group at MU, actually led the work that was presented to FDA for clearance of the cedar here in the United States. And that original protocol that was approved for use called for administration of the cedar for 7 days. And then during that, around the sixth day of treatment, prostaglandin was administered. And then following cedar removal on day seven, heifers were heat detected and then AI'd based on observed heat. There were three treatments involved in that initial study: an untreated control, a group that received a single injection of prostaglandin, and then the cedar prostaglandin group, which, as I indicated, the cedar was inserted for 7 days and then prostaglandin was administered on day six. Sort of the take-home from that original study was is that the cedar successfully induced cyclicity in the prepubertal heifers. Cedar prostaglandin improved estrus response over the control and prostaglandin-treated contemporaries. And cedar prostaglandin actually improved pregnancy rates during the synchronized period over the prostaglandin treated contemporaries. So the question is, and as many of you probably either have asked the question or are wondering, is it really necessary to administer prostaglandin on day six, or can we combine trips through the chute and remove cedars and administer prostaglandin coincidentally? And so actually work that was done by the Select Sires organization addressed that question, and essentially what they found from the study that they conducted was the fact that if you look at the cedar prostaglandin treated heifers in which prostaglandin was administered on day six, represented by the orange or red bars, versus those that were administered prostaglandin on day seven, represented by these green bars, you can see here the hours after cedar removal on the x-axis and the percentage of heifers in estrus on the y-axis. Essentially, all that changes relative to day of administration of prostaglandin is timing of when those heifers come into heat. The heifers that get prostaglandin on day six come into heat earlier in comparison to those that administered prostaglandin on day seven, and there was really no difference in terms of pregnancy rates resulting from that study. So most people now are doing those things coincidentally. That moves us now to the multi-state trial, which was a very large undertaking led by Dr. Cliff Lamb. And it was a multi-state trial that essentially involved comparison of four protocols or four treatments that are illustrated here on the slide. The top two, as you can see, were both involved detection of estrus followed with insemination based on observed estrus up to the point of 84 hours following the removal of cedars and the administration of prostaglandin. At 84 hours in both of these treatment groups, any heifers that did not exhibit estrus then were appointment bred. Okay, and what you can see relative to the two differences between these two protocols is simply the fact that heifers in this group on the right received GnRH at the time cedars were inserted versus the group here on the left that did not receive GnRH at cedar insertion. Those two treatments were then compared to the two treatments on the bottom, which were straight fixed-time AI protocols, in which case the heifers were inseminated at 60 hours following prostaglandin and cedar removal. And again, the only difference between these two treatment groups is the addition or not involving the administration of GnRH at cedar insertion. These are the results from that trial, and as you can see, the figures here on the top involve, or include rather, the percentages in terms of heifers that became pregnant as a result of expressing estrus that were inseminated or became pregnant as a result of detected heat and subsequent insemination versus those that were inseminated based on the appointment breeding at 84 hours. 55% for the cedar prostaglandin group and 57% for the GnRH cedar prostaglandin treated group. Those figures are then compared with, or percentages are compared then with the two groups that were appointment bred. In this case, the cedar prostaglandin treated group that were time bred at 60 hours, you can see 49% for those heifers. And for the group that received GnRH at cedar insertion, 53% for that group. So in summary, the results from that trial indicated that first GnRH at cedar insertion did not improve pregnancy rates after fixed-time AI. GnRH at cedar insertion did not alter the percentage of heifers detected in estrus or the subsequent distribution of estrus after prostaglandin. And perhaps the important point here is that a combination of detecting estrus and AI before cleanup AI actually enhanced pregnancy rates over fixed-time AI. So the next question I would pose is, how do MGA and cedar-based protocols compare in heifers? And this is more recent work from our group, actually led by Daniel Mallory. This work was actually conducted in conjunction with or collaboration with Circle A's Heifer Development Facility at Lineville, Iowa. The luxury that we've had in working with that facility is that we can place very large numbers of heifers on heat watch to get really very precise data on large groups of heifers to help us really compare protocols on a much larger basis. This protocol, in terms of the 14-19-day protocol, was compared to a cedar protocol, in which case cedars were administered for 14 days. And you can see here the difference in terms of timing, in terms of withdrawal of MGA from the feed versus withdrawal or removal of the cedar. And the difference in timing, 19 versus 16 days, is largely dependent on the differences that you're going to see relative to clearance rates of MGA versus cedar and in terms of the MGA as a result of feed intake, which Dr. Smith talked about, and the more rapid withdrawal in terms of the cedar in terms of how that protocol actually works. The difference between these two, and then you can see prostaglandin was administered 19 days later on day 33, and prostaglandin was administered to the cedar-treated heifers on day 30. Now, this is an important slide, I think, relative to what then happens following prostaglandin. We were curious as to what really would occur following removal of the progestin, either withdrawal of MGA from the feed or removal of the cedar. And this is what the heat expression looked like coming off of either MGA following the 14-day feeding period of MGA or removal of the cedar after 14 days. And this is the actual data off of HeatWatch, the percentages of heifers in each of the two treatments that exhibited estrus following progestin withdrawal or removal. And you can see this these bars on the end of each of these graphs represented by NR. Those are the heifers that failed to respond during that subsequent withdrawal or removal period. But a much more highly synchronized degree of estrus among the cedar-treated heifers. If we look at that mean interval to estrus and the variance for interval to estrus after MGA or cedar withdrawal, essentially what you can see here is that the mean interval to estrus for the MGA-treated heifers was 134 hours versus roughly 38 hours for the cedar-treated heifers. And what we do statistically to really compare the degree of synchrony in terms of how many of those heifers are actually coming into heat over a very narrow window of time, we define that or describe that by the term variance for interval to estrus. And I don't want you to think about this in terms of actual numbers of hours or minutes or whatever. This is a number giving us a relative distribution of what those what the expression of heat actually looked like. A larger number actually represents the fact that the heats were much more spread out. A smaller number indicates that the heats were much more tightly synchronized. But you can see here a very large variance in terms of the MGA-treated heifers versus a relatively small variance for the heifers that were assigned to the cedar prostaglandin protocol. There were 200 heifers in the MGA group and 196 heifers in the 14-day cedar group. And you can see here there was a significant advantage in terms of the percentage of heifers that actually expressed heat in the cedar-treated group, 92% versus 85% of those heifers actually went on the standing heat list, on heat watch, and you can see the relative differences here in terms of the heifers that were either cycling or prepubertal at the time treatments were imposed. This then is what the heat distribution looked like following prostaglandin. The black bars represent the MGA-treated heifers. The gray bars represent the cedar-treated heifers. And again, what you can see here is that the degree of synchrony is more highly synchronized among the heifers that were assigned to the 14-day cedar treatment. This slide represents the mean interval to estrus and variance for interval to estrus. There was really no significant difference here relative to the mean interval to estrus between treatment groups, 57 hours for the MGA heifers versus 56 for the cedar-treated heifers. But again, look at the differences in terms of the variance for interval to estrus. The degree of synchrony is much greater among the heifers that were assigned to the 14-day cedar protocol versus the MGA-treated heifers. So in conclusion, relative to this study, estrus response and synchrony of estrus were significantly improved among heifers assigned to the 14-day cedar protocol. There were no differences between the treatments in terms of fertility based on either synchronized conception or pregnancy rates. And based on that pre-synchronization with the 14-day cedar followed 16 days later with prostaglandin, we felt did provide an effective alternative for use in replacement heifers. So the next question is, what happens if we add GnRH to the mix to start manipulating follicular waves? And so the question here is, does the addition of GnRH to a long-term progestin-based protocol enhance synchrony of estrus or total estrus response? And this is more work that one of my graduate students was involved with in development of the MGA Select protocol, wherein we compared a 14-day feeding period of MGA followed 19 days later with the administration of prostaglandin in comparison to the MGA GnRH protocol, in which case GnRH is administered 12 days after MGA withdrawal and 7 days prior to administration of prostaglandin. These next two slides graphically illustrate what's occurring on an individual animal basis on these heifers that were assigned to each of these protocols. This slide represents the MGA prostaglandin-treated heifers, and each one of these lines represent follicular diameter in millimeters, leading up to a subsequent ovulation represented by these little explosion points. Each of these days on the bottom are the days relative to treatment after MGA was withdrawn from the feed. And so we ultrasounded these heifers on a daily basis. And what you can see on these MGA prostaglandin-treated heifers, I want you to pay attention to what the heat distribution looked like relative to the period of time over which heats were expressed, and then what occurred when we added GnRH to the mix. When we added GnRH to the protocol, basically it reset the follicular waves on these heifers and essentially reduced the period of time over which heats were expressed almost in half, and see how much more highly synchronized ovulation was in terms of the differences between the two treatment protocols. So a question we get then is, when would you or should you add GnRH to an MGA prostaglandin protocol for heifers? In our opinion, based on fairly extensive work with this, is that it should be only given based on the heifer's age, weight, and reproductive tract score. GnRH will contribute to a situation in terms of enhancing synchronization on heifers if you have high degree or high rates of cyclicity. If you've got large numbers of prepubertal heifers in the mix, it's probably not going to do you any good at all. The other point that I would make relative to this is that it will increase your degree of synchrony, but we saw no differences in terms of pregnancy rates resulting from it. So the next question was, is what about an MGA select versus a cedar select approach? And so relative to this, you can see this is what we did in terms of adding GnRH to both of these protocols to compare them on the basis of how they might perform relative to both synchrony and pregnancy. And this is work that actually Freddie Kojima, when he was a postdoc in our lab, was involved with. This actually involves three sets of cattle. And what you can see is that the distribution of AI dates were different between the MJ and cedar-treated heifers, with the advantage to the heifers that were assigned to the 14-day cedar treatment. The take-home relative to this, which really sparked our curiosity, was is the fact that if we look at the estrus response, AI pregnancy and final pregnancy rates on these heifers, if you look at first this estrus response column, cedar versus MGA, really no difference. 87% of the cedar-treated heifers came into heat versus 84%. And I should define a synchronized period. What we consider to be a synchronized period, if we're actually heat-detecting cattle, following prostaglandin is about 144 hours, okay? You can get anticipate to see a response to an injection of prostaglandin up to a period of about 144 hours after its administration. What really sparked our interest here, and it's an observation that we made and actually Mike Kasten, who's in the audience, who will be speaking tomorrow, this work was actually first done on his farm, but what we were seeing is that these heifers that were actually better developed, higher body condition, high cyclicity rates going into the breeding season, MGA was, we were actually going backwards in terms of our pregnancy rates with MGA-based programs. And what we really saw from this study was that the cedar was actually helping us overcome that. So in terms of kind of a summary relative to the comparison of those two protocols, there was no difference in estrus response during the synchronized period, an improvement in synchrony of estrus among the cedar-treated heifers, also an improvement in conception and pregnancy rates during the synchronized period, but no difference in final pregnancy rate. The bottom line there was we got more pregnancies earlier with the cedar-treated heifers. Okay, the next question then is how do long-term and short-term cedar-based protocols compare in heifers? And Dan Bush, who was in our program, actually led this work, and it was a comparison of the co-sync cedar treatment, in which case heifers were appointment bred at 54 hours with GnRH administered at the time of AI, and that was compared to the cedar select protocol, 14-day cedar followed 9 days with the administration of GnRH, prostaglandin 17 days later, and then the heifers were appointment bred at 72 hours with GnRH. And what you can see on this slide is that the data are broken down on the basis of heifers that were pre- or peripubertal versus those that were estrus cycling within each of the two treatment groups. And if we first look within row relative to the individual treatments, both protocols were working very similarly in terms of how they were working on both cycling and prepubertal heifers. But note here the significant difference in terms of pregnancy rates resulting from fixed-time AI with the advantage to the long-term cedar-treated heifers. In terms of sort of summary points relative to that, synchronizing beef heifers with the cedar select protocol resulted in an increased response to GnRH in comparison to the short-term treated heifers. And that's one point that I think is extremely important for you to understand is that the talk that will follow this in terms of the cow side of the of synchronization, the response to GnRH in cows is much more predictable than it is going to be in heifers. And that's one of the dilemmas that we've all struggled with in terms of designing protocols for heifers that will give you more or less the most bang for your buck. The other thing here is that we saw a higher estrus response with the long-term treated group, a reduced variance associated with the interval from prostaglandin to estrus and ovulation, significantly higher fixed-time AI pregnancy rates among the cedar select-treated heifers, and a reduced variance associated with the interval from fixed-time AI to the subsequent return to estrus. And this was work from both Dan Bush's work as well as Nicole Lightman, who was in our program. So the next question is how do the cedar select and 14-day cedar prostaglandin protocols compare? And Nicole had really, really started to look at this in her work based on trials that we had conducted with in conjunction with Circle A. And it really was starting to appear based on one of the first studies we did that GnRH was actually giving us somewhat of a drag in heifers. And so based on the design of the previous experiments that we did leading up to this, we felt that this head-to-head comparison was essential to the answer the questions relative to differences in the protocols based on heat response, interval to and synchrony of estrus, and then synchronized pregnancy rate. And so, again, a fairly simple experimental design in terms of a comparison of cedar select, cedar 14-day cedar followed 9 days with GnRH and 17 days later with prostaglandin, in comparison to the 14-day cedar prostaglandin protocol, in which case no GnRH is involved. This is what the distribution of estrus look like. The red bars represent the cedar select treated heifers. The green bars represent the 14-day cedar PG treated heifers. And what you can see here, and if you, I'll show you a slide here in a moment, but the really impressive thing to us with this protocol, the cedar PG protocol, is the consistency in heat distribution in terms of timing and the degree of synchrony. And you can see the advantage it provides relative or offers relative to cedar select. What we found was is that the estrus response was similar between the two treatments, excellent estrus response, 98% for the cedar PG treated heifers versus 94% for the cedar select treated heifers. The mean interval to estrus was 7 hours earlier for the cedar PG treated heifers compared to cedar select. And this is going to be an important point when we come back and start talking about time breeding heifers with this protocol. And then heifers assigned to the 14-day cedar prostaglandin protocol had a greater synchrony of estrus compared to heifers assigned to cedar select. This is what the pregnancy data look like. If we look at AI conception rates, 67% of the cedar prostaglandin-treated heifers became pregnant versus 58% of the cedar select-treated heifers. And you can see this was significant or approached significance at the 0.09 level. However, if we look at what you're most interested in, the synchronized AI pregnancy rate, those differences were significant at the 0.05 level, 66% versus 55%, and no differences in terms of final pregnancy. So, in conclusion, relative to that study, the administration of GNIH following cedar removal in the cedar select protocol in our hands is not required to facilitate an improvement in the synchrony of estrus in heifers. And this leads up to what we were involved with this last spring. Again, this work was led by Daniel Mallory, who just finished a master's in my program. And the question here that we posed was, how did the cedar select and 14-day cedar PG protocols compare on the basis of pregnancy rates resulting from fixed-time AI? And I want to step aside for just a minute and thank Stan Locke from GenX, because Stan was very involved with the work that we were doing at Circle A, and Stan really pushed us to get going on this, because the data that they had some work that they had already been interested in trying to make this comparison, or not actually make a comparison, but they wanted to try this protocol in conjunction with timed AI. And so their interest in it really sort of prompted us to get going on it a little bit harder than we probably would have. So what we did was we made the comparison of the 14-day cedar, where GNRH, was administered 9 days following cedar removal, and then 7 days later prostaglandin was administered. These heifers were all appointment bred at 72 hours with GNRH at AI. And in comparison to the 14-day cedar with no GNRH, prostaglandin is administered 16 days later. And remember what I said relative to timing of heat. The heifers come into heat earlier on this protocol than they do with cedar select. And so the timing that we chose was 66 hours for those heifers to be appointment bred. This is the heat watch data from three data sets, the two studies from Nicole Whiteman's work and the third study from Daniel Mallory's work. But look at the consistency from these three studies in terms of the timing of estrus. And there's over 400 heifers on heat watch that are summarized in this slide. Now, if we look at what the actual intervals to estrus were from those respective studies, you can see that the total or mean interval to estrus was 56.2 hours. And you can see the range here from 54 hours up to 59. And so what we chose for the protocol, as I indicated on the previous slide, was 66 hours. What we do is we actually record the time of injections on these heifers when they get prostaglandin, and then we record the corresponding time of insemination. And these are when the heifers actually were inseminated. And Stan was actually involved with the AI on these heifers as well. But you can see here that the cedar select heifers, the mean time of insemination on those heifers was 72.4 hours. The mean time of insemination on the 14-day cedar prostaglandin-treated heifers was 66.5 hours. This is what happened relative to the pregnancy rates on the heifers. The cedar prostaglandin heifers with the wrong slide here. I do have the wrong slide there. That's MGA versus cedar. Actually, that's the right data. It's the wrong heading for the column. Sorry about that. This should be cedar select versus 14-day cedar PG. And what you can see here is that the pregnancy rates were 62% for the cedar PG treated heifers versus 51% for the cedar select. Ignore that MGA PG. And if you look at the differences here relative to estrus cycling in prepubertal heifers, you can see the corresponding differences relative to those groups. What we found relative to the difference here is that if you look at the p-values represented by these superscripts A versus B, this is approaching significance at the 0.07 level. So, in summary, relative to this, pregnancy rates tended to be higher for the 14-day cedar PG-treated heifers compared to the cedar select-treated heifers, and final pregnancy rates did not differ between the treatment groups. So if we look at the data that we've collected to date relative to the 14-day cedar prostaglandin treated heifers, we do feel that it is effective in synchronizing estrus prior to fixed time AI. And this is the data that we've collected all at Circle A when the heifers were inseminated on the basis of observed heat off of heat watch. 422 heifers, you can see 57% versus the fixed time AI pregnancy rates on over 700 heifers were running 63%. This table, and I'm not going to take time to go through it, but it's in your proceedings paper. I hope you'll take time to actually study this to a certain degree when you have a chance. But compare how all these protocols are working, in which case the various classes, AI based on detected estrus, heat detection followed by fixed time AI, and then AI performed on straight fixed time or appointment breeding. An exciting thing here, and I think you'll see the same thing relative to the talk that will follow, is that we can successfully get cattle bred now by appointment, and it really changes things in terms of opening up opportunities to enhance what we're able to do with our herds, both from a reproductive management standpoint as well as a genetic standpoint. The take-home points that I want to leave with you are these two. Long-term cedar-based protocols, in our opinion, enhance synchrony of estrus compared to short-term cedar-based or MGA-based protocols, and pregnancy rates resulting from fixed-time AI and beef heifers are expected to be higher following treatment with a long-term cedar-based protocol because of the improvement in synchrony of estrus that follows treatment. And we base that on the heat watch data that we've collected or evaluated based on these various protocols. I just want to take a moment to thank all the faculty and staff and students that have been involved with the work that I've presented. It involves a pretty extensive undertaking. We've worked very closely with our MU farms and centers. I'd also like to acknowledge financial support that we received for some of this work, largely from USDA's National Research Initiative Competitive Grants Program, and then also financial support from the Select Sires organization. I want to also acknowledge the product support that we've received in terms of very generous support from Pfizer, Mary Allen, IVX, and then we have a great working relationship in Missouri, I'm happy to say, with all the AI companies, ABS, Accelerated, Genex, and Select Sires. The other people that I want to acknowledge are Mike Kest and the Circle A operation in terms of organizations or ranches that we've worked very closely with over the years, MFA Incorporated with their research facility at Marshall, Missouri, and then the MU Thompson Farm. So thank you for your attention.